There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
James, I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, me specifically?
No, not really. Just life in general.
Why don't you tell it to our guest, Chris Hemsworth?
Do you have Chris Hemsworth on your list of suggestibles?
No.
Oh, that is so weird. He's the first one on my list.
Why? Just in general?
Why?
Take a look at Chris Hemsworth. Take a look at his Instagram.
Correct. Well, I've been thinking about things to cheer you up, and by God.
Mine are very cheery this week.
Are they? How come you said Chris Hemsworth straight up?
He's my go-to celebrity. I've used it on the Weekly Planet, my more successful podcast, to be I'm with Chris Hemsworth, and Nick Mason is like, why would you do that?
Oh, Mason's just as handsome as Chris Hemsworth.
What are you talking about? No, he's not. What a ridiculous thing to
anyway,
say.
Anyway, hello. This is Suggestible Podcast, the podcast that we recommend you things to watch and listen to. I am Claire. I'm here with my husband, Ball and Chain.
That's right.
James Clement.
And I'm here to lure you in with promises of Chris Hemsworth.
Well, it's just so funny. Literally, the first thing I have on my list here is Chris Hemsworth Twitter video pump up.
Okay, what do you got?
All right, so my sister sent me this. She's been sending me a lot of recommendations recently. Thanks, old sis. She's like the only other person I'm seeing at the moment.
She's also younger than you, so you know.
Yeah, she's more. She also has no kids, so she's got time.
That's right.
Anyway, Chris Hemsworth just gives you a pump up. It's a video on Twitter where he just talks to you, you specifically.
Me?
Out there. Anyone.
Says, James, I love your less successful podcast, Suggestible.
I love your muscles. What do you do to keep so svelte?
Don't patronise me, Claire.
Anyway, it's just him talking into a camera and just pumping you up and telling me you're literally doing brilliantly. You're crushing everything at life. You're a legend.
Yes.
And ordinarily I would be like, well, this seems ridiculous, but I'll bloody take anything to cheer me up at the moment in this lockdown because we're currently living under a lockdown in Melbourne.
You know we are.
We bloody are. And anyway, and it's Chris Hemsworth, and I've just forgotten what liquid gold of a human being
he
is.
Oh, yeah, he's very charming. Yeah.
He's so bloody charming.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. My favourite of the Hemsworth brothers. He also lives in Byron Bay, which is like living the dream.
That's right. Well, that's what we're going to do one day, isn't
it? Yeah, and you also showed me a video of him just recently as well, didn't you, on something. He was doing something funny. He said something funny and you showed it to me and it was very funny.
Potentially, yeah, maybe.
Oh, gosh, that's not a good recommendation.
But I did and I agree. That was really good. Yeah.
Anyway, so if you want a little bit of a pump up, go watch that.
He's got that because he does that center health app thing as well. It's all about the celebrities, but they help you get fit like Chris Hemsworth or whatever. you can speak to Chris Hemsworth's dietitian or whatever.
Well, let's do that. We have got his personal trainer's cookbook.
Well, his personal trainer started off as a mate and his mate went, I'm going to get fit and then train Chris Hemsworth. That's essentially what happened.
That's living the dream though, right? That's Luke a little bit
Zoc.
Like Entourage.
Luke Zoc,
yeah, you bought his recipe book.
Charlie Clausen got me onto it. He was like, you should check out this guy's Instagram. He does like fun recipes. He'll do like a zucchini eggplant parma
or
whatever.
He'll basically replace vegetables in delicious
food. He does some
food.
Good stuff there. He'll do some other stuff.
How many of those recipes have you cooked? You've had that cookbook
No,
now
I'm talking
for
about
a year
on his
half.
Instagram. I'm checking out on his Instagram.
Oh, you're Instagramming.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, so someone else recommend. Actually, some of his recipes are quite good. Some of them look better in the picture, and when you eat them, you're like, oh, that's right.
It's
having
just
a whole zucchini instead of pasta is not
as good. They're like, what about zoodles? It's like zucchini. No, shut
just
up.
It's not as good. I served zoodles to our son this week. He was very unimpressed.
He's not having it, mate.
I said, they're zoodles. It's just like pasta. And he looked at me and I said, you're right, mate. It's not a pasta.
But eat it.
But eat it anyway. It's good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. All right. What's yours?
Well,
I didn't tell you my bone.
Oh, what's your bone?
My bone is just that I'm currently wearing glasses with only one handle.
Oh, because you're talking to me like, oh, I did it. You're like, I've got a bone to pick
like
with you.
Like someone sat on them and broke
you
them.
Sat on them. I was there.
No.
Yes.
No. Someone else. You were wrestling.
No. This is what happened.
And someone snapped
No.
And all
no,
this,
no,
I can't
no.
get to my optometrist. They're bloody shut. I don't know what to do. So now I'm watching TV on an angle with like the glasses like tilted diagonally. I don't want to tell
you. You literally sat on them. They were sitting next to me on the bed. I remember when I got on because I was like, I'm not going to crush these. And then you sat on them.
All right. Well, fine. However, they were broken, most likely by you. But anyway, however they were broken.
I saw you do it.
All I'm saying is I'm slowly going mad. And now I tried to wear contacts instead of my glasses. And then I got the contact lens stuck under my lid. And I have to say, you redeemed yourself for sitting on my glasses.
Excuse me. You got the contact lens out of my eyeball. I did two great things. I didn't break your glasses and I rescued you from a contact was stuck up inside your eye.
Yeah. And so now I can't wear my contacts anymore because I'm too scared that I'll get stuck up there and then there'll be no one to help because of coronavirus.
There's a solution to this also.
What's the solution?
Just have 20/20 vision like me and all of these problems disappear. I can't sit on my own eyes. No. What the hell is that?
That doesn't even make any sense. We are slowly going mad. Anyway, I would recommend having glasses with two handles, not just one.
Well, I recommend. Ready for me to recommend my thing?
Shoot away.
I recommend Fast and Furious Crossroads, the video game. No, that's just because me and Mason were talking about it. It's a 40-minute documentary on Netflix called The Speed Cubers, which you might have heard about. So it follows two people. Right? One is this guy called Felix. He's like the Rubik's Cube solving guy. And there's a number of things you can – you know, everything's got like a subculture. There's this huge international speed cubing community, which people that have holds like tournaments and exhibitions, and they filled out one of the Melbourne Exhibition Centre like stadiums to do this thing.
It's like another one of those My Little Pony kind of things.
Yeah, but it's literally people like it's just nice. Kind, I guess some of them slightly nerdy people like solving Rubik's Cubes or being enthralled by people solving Rubik's
That's
Cubes,
cool.
right? It is cool. Yeah. It's really great. And so this guy Felix is Australian. He's from Melbourne. He's probably in his like by the time they film this in his late teens, early 20s. And he's just like a nice guy. He's like friendly. He's really encouraging, right? This guy. But all of a sudden, he holds the record for the most for the crown jewel of speed cubing, which is the solving the 3x3 Rubik's Cube, you know, the standard one. But there's other ones where you can do like 20 and some you solve with your feet and some you do blindfolded. You know what I mean? They have all these different kind of things, but that's like the thing. And he got his in about 6.5 seconds or whatever, like solved a cube.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. You watch them do it and it's amazing, right?
I can't do it. Yeah. If you gave me like endless time.
Once you know like the formula, you can – it's pretty easy to puzzle out once you know. But yeah, but then it becomes down to speed. And like you pick it up off the mat, the timer starts, you throw it back down, the timer stops. That's how it works. Anyway, when he's kind of at the peak of his game, a rival appears by the name of Max, who's this kid from the US. And he's maybe 12 when he starts doing it. He's like severely autistic. And it's about not just about him kind of solving Rubik's Cube. It is, but it's about that's his road in that his parents see for him to kind of become more involved as a member of society. Because growing up, he was very withdrawn. He like the parents knew something was wrong, where they couldn't quite figure out what was going on even from birth. And he was diagnosed, and all of a sudden, all their dreams about their son and all the things that they'd want to see him do, they go out the window. And you got to readjust your expectations. So he ends up being in his kind of mid to late teens in the documentary, but he's kind of got the probably the mind of a 7-year-old in terms of like emotional capacity. So, but what ends up happening is he starts beating this other kid's, Felix's, starts slowly winning all of these tournaments and taking all these prizes. But he looks up to Felix as like this mentor figure. And so Felix kind of takes him under his wing and they become kind of, like they're rivals essentially, but they're friends. That's what it comes down to. And it's like one of those things that you see, when you've seen this at school, I'd imagine, because we have like prep buddies and grade 6 buddies, which is what you do at school, where an older kid mentors a younger kid. And they do the similar thing in high school or whatever, but that's what it sort of becomes. And so whenever he looks to this guy for example. So one time when they're standing up on the podium, he looks next to him and he sees that how the other kids are standing when they win. And so he adjusts himself. And that was a huge moment for the parents, because that's something that apparently I'm way out of. I used to know more about autism, things like that when I was a teacher, but that's one of the things that you look for them to do, where they look to other kids for example, do you know what I mean? So they're looking outside of their shell. And that was a huge moment, do you know what I mean? And things like this. So it's also taught him like fine motor skills, because he wasn't really, that was another thing that kind of suffered because of his condition. And again, now all of a sudden he's got this incredible dexterity. So it's about competition, like it is, but it's more about watching these two, the friendship blossom, and especially this kid Max, who you see him like, he would have tantrums when he'd lose and then adjust to be like, it's okay, you know, there's always next year and I did my best and all these kinds of things. It's amazing. Like, it's like 40 minutes, but it's so heartwarming. Like, you will love it. Like, you really love it. It's incredible. It's like the perfect length also, you know what I mean? Like, watching it, I'm like, I could watch another hour of this. Like, easy.
Yeah.
But it's,
and that's a great way to actually finish a documentary, I think, when you feel like you could keep watching it rather than it dragging.
Yeah. I loved it though. I really loved it, and I highly recommend it if you're looking for something uplifting. Yeah, and it's also really emotional, because especially with, even with Felix, like, he ends up going to the last tournament that you see in the doc. It's held in Melbourne, and he's from Melbourne, so his family there and everything, and that's his family and friends, and that's a whole other thing. And Max flies in, and you know what I mean, and they're hanging out together, and Max suddenly becomes like, he's like 6'2", he's like enormous, and it's really fun, and yeah, I love like subcultures of things, especially if it's got like a really healthy community, which this, I'm not sure there are elements of it that aren't, no doubt, but just seeing these two guys be such like, put such a positive face on this thing. Because I don't know if you've seen like the King of Kong, about the Donkey Kong tournament. There's like a villain in that. There's like the guy, he's like the evil Donkey Kong player. And there's none of that. It doesn't operate. And I love that movie. Don't get me wrong. I think that movie's great, but this is more uplifting, especially if you've got young kids or, you know, you know somebody with, you know, autism, then this is a really interesting insight into the world.
I'm so with you about subcultures and about hobbies, which, I mean, I know subcultures become more than just a hobby. I don't want to diminish that, but I think that's what human beings are designed to have, passions and things that we love. And that's what life's about, really, isn't it? About finding something that you love so much and then connecting with other people that also love that thing so much. And that's what the internet, I think, has given us, that you might be the only person in your community who loves doing Rubik's Cube, but there'll be hundreds, thousands of people across the world when you connect.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love that. And
it's strange because, like, I guess it's kind of like what we do. Like, nobody knows who the fuck we are, like, in our lives. Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody cares. None of our friends care. But then every now and then we'll do a live event and, like, you know, 300 people show up. We're like, oh, yeah, that's right. People watch this.
And our friends get really amused.
Yeah, they're like, what is going on here?
Yeah, they really understand.
Just the idea that, and it's the positivity that I really took away from. And it was kind of also heartbreak. The parents were so wonderful as well, the way that they – because when you've got a kid with a disability or anything, they don't meet an expectation.
It's not,
I guess,
neurotypical.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's the way to put it. I'm not always up on my phrase, and I apologize. Like, I try to keep ahead.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah, but then it's like you almost have to mourn the death of the person that, you know, you thought they would be. You know what I mean?
All your expectations for them.
But the way that they adjust is really wonderful, and they're so proud of him and whatever. And they've just got this, and the way that he's like, his mum, he didn't respond to his mum at all initially when he was young, and then slowly they form this bond, and it's just incredible. Like, it's amazing. Hello everyone, Claire stepped out of the room because she's not in the room when I recorded this ad for ExpressVPN. I hope that's okay. I hope I don't lose anybody here, but it's important that you know that ExpressVPN lets you access your internet from different countries. It's also important that you know that Netflix has different shows and movies available depending on where you are. With ExpressVPN, you can actually unlock thousands of new shows and movies from streaming libraries around the globe. There are hundreds of VPNs out there. Too many. But ExpressVPN is ridiculously fast. You can stream everything in high quality with zero buffering. It's also available on every device. Phones, laptops, tablets, even your television. And it works with all of your streaming services. Netflix, Amazon Prime, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, and many more. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. And it's so simple to use. Just fire up the ExpressVPN app, change your location, hit connect, then refresh the page, and the show or movie you want will magically appear like magic. Now, I know some people of the show are fans of Last Week Tonight, but if you're not in the US of A, did you know it's actually available on YouTube? But only in the US of A. So you can use ExpressVPN to watch clips from the show Last Week Tonight when it's normally in the US of A, but you can pretend that you are using ExpressVPN. And if you want, you can use the link expressvpn.com/suggestible to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/suggestible. Let's continue the show. I hope it goes well. We already recorded it. It's an absolute bloody cracker of a show, mate. Let me tell you, it's fine.
Oh, it's so amazing. And often for people with autism, it can be through a passion like that, that people can connect with them and they can connect with other people because they do. And look, it's a spectrum and there's so many different ways of being with that disorder.
Of course. And I've talked about this before. Like a lot of the time you won't even know. Like I've taught kids that like you wouldn't know or even undiagnosed kids, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And you know what this reminds me of? And I have it on my list. Love on the Spectrum is a show that I've talked about previously.
Yes.
But it's now on Netflix. So it was an Australian show that was on the ABC a while ago and I talked about it on a previous episode. And it's about people with autism falling in love or trying to find love, I should say, more than falling in love, trying to find love and going on dates.
Yeah.
And it's just so sweet and gorgeous and interesting because really it's a look at their families and their relationship with their families and also like that universal idea that just because you might not be neurotypical, it doesn't mean that you're not looking for love.
Yeah, and you're not deserving of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Also,
and also their perspective on the world and on love is so fascinating too. And you see from couples who are both on the spectrum and have found each other, there's just some really gorgeous and hilarious moments. It's so touching and quite uplifting.
My friend Joe was like, he was talking about the other day and he goes, Claire would love it. And I'm like, oh, she's all over it.
Yeah, I watched it on the end. I loved it. And it reminded me of kids that I've taught and families that I've met.
I hate, and I've talked about this on my more successful podcast, the way that they use like autism and things like that as like superpowers in or like an excuse for somebody to be rude in a show when they're like, he's the doctor, but he's rude. He doesn't understand social cues, but he's the best. But he's almost like a superpower and he's got like, you know, there's like show. Like
he's like
a lot
Rain
of that.
Man with
it
all the
really
numbers or something.
Fucking annoys me because like it's not a superpower. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it really annoys, and it's not like just people like slapping their heads and screaming, which a lot of the time you see in shows and movies.
Yeah.
And it just really pisses me off. And just to see something like this and Love on the Spectrum, it's
beautiful.
Really nice.
I think the other thing that's really interesting about Love on the Spectrum is it looks at women with autism.
Yes.
And how.
Because that's not as common, isn't that?
Well,
that's right.
This is what's interesting.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's right. You mentioned this. Yeah,
so in Love on the Spectrum, they talk about this, that, you know, the majority of time, men, more, you know, boys have been diagnosed with autism than girls by quite a big margin. But what they're starting to discover now is that it's possibly because girls' behaviors tend to go under the radar and present differently. So their autism will present differently to boys. And often hide it better, or they're able to kind of socially correct in ways that boys not, and this is just such a general sweeping generalization.
Of course,
everyone's different, but so often their diagnosis has kind of been hidden, which then actually can hinder women who do have autism because you don't actually then have an understanding of why you are the way you are.
So do often they not know that they are autistic? It's just like the way that they operate.
Yeah, it's just been underdiagnosed in girls. Yeah. They think,
but I mean, like,
and
if,
it presents
is it,
differently.
But people who have it, who are girls, don't know that they've got it. Is that what I'm talking about?
Possibly, yeah. It can be that way. Yeah, it depends depending on their diagnosis and the journey that they've gone through. But I guess, and look, this is also very different for everyone. But having an understanding of why things are more difficult for you and having a label. Sometimes people sort of talk about a label being limiting, but in some ways it's also freeing because it makes you understand more about yourself and understand more about your world and then connect in with other people who also see the world in a similar way to you.
Yes.
And so it can be quite empowering to understand why things are harder for you than others. When I was at uni, we had a really amazing lecture.
Is this like you were talking about? I think you've told me about this. Yeah, I was about to ask you, but yeah, so go on.
Yeah, so he was an educational psychologist and he worked with a lot of adults who were diagnosed with autism later in life. And he said particularly what was interesting where they were often really highly functioning members of society. Like, for instance, he spoke to a judge who came to him in her 40s and said, look, I want to talk to you about what I think is going on for me and I'm trying to understand myself. And she brought out this book and she had written, to become a judge, you have to be so accomplished. But social cues were so difficult for her that she had literally written down every person that she knew in her life, whether it was the doorman or a colleague or a friend or a parent or a, you know, anyone in her life, including in the courtroom.
Mm.
And she'd written next to them the facial expression she needed to make, how her body and mannerisms should be depending on how familiar she was with that person. You know, like if it was a colleague, you have to say, "Hi, Jim, how are the kids?" and wave and smile. But if it is the coffee shop owner, you don't need to ask them personal questions because you don't know them. So you can just smile and nod.
So it's almost, so she was so intelligent.
Yeah,
she that was, she was able to like map things that you just take for granted that you can just do.
Yeah, and so she was operating her entire life with like a second curriculum. And we talk about that with kids who have autism or other learning difficulties or disabilities, that they've got a second curriculum going on in the background all the time. Even just kids who are coming from difficult home lives or if they've experienced grief. So they might be trying to learn in the classroom, but the whole time they've also got this other thing running underneath them that they're coping with. And look, it doesn't just have to, it's all kinds of things. And I think sometimes that rings true for a lot of people. Maybe you've been diagnosed with an illness and you're continuing to go on with your day. And I think that's why I talked to you a bit about, you know, we just don't know why people act the way they do see them because of maybe what's happening for them. Anyway, but that isn't that incredible to think that she became a judge, but the level of intellect she had to have and how hard she was working to maintain the social cues and, you know, and a structure within society while also being a really highly accomplished person in her field. It blows my mind. And I think especially now in the time we're living in COVID, more broadly, I just think people have all got stories and are going through things that we can't even comprehend or understand. And so, God, we just have to be a little bit kind.
Yeah.
Don't we? Anyway, that was a long tangent.
No, I think that's good. Yeah. That's fascinating to me as well that.
Yeah, don't you think? And I,
because it's one of those things. Like, I know you think about it when you meet someone. You're like, oh, I'm being weird. Oh, I'm standing too close. Oh, you know what I mean? Oh, I should have said that. You know what I mean?
But,
but then that's a whole other.
Yeah, to have level. That as a
Because I still feel like I'm constantly like adjusting and learning when I meet people and be like, oh, that's not a cool thing to say, or you know, back up a bit, or oh no, fuck that guy. Whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what
I mean? Like it's. Yeah, it's this balance that you're constantly working on.
Even how to hold. I remember being a kid and trying to figure out how to hold my arms. I've got really long, arms, and I never knew how to hold them.
Yeah.
So I'd have really long, like, sleeves, and I'd pull my sleeves over my hands.
Yeah.
Because then at least I felt like I was doing something with my arms.
And our son does that. So that's why sometimes he's got a long sleeve.
Yeah, he does. I know. And that's, I think, part of parenthood too, that as you become a parent – the things in your life that you struggled with can present themselves in your kids.
I recognize things that, like, the traits that I have in our other kids are baby. But, you know, I definitely said, like, he's not me, obviously, but there are things that I recognize. Yeah. Those things I recognize, I'm like, oh, I know this. Like, I see what's going on here. Or I think I do, at least. Maybe I'd.
Yeah. I know. It's really fascinating. Yeah, this whole concept. Anyway, I would highly recommend Love on the Spectrum and was it Speed Cubing?
What is it? It's The Speed Cubers.
The Speed Cubers. Yeah. And that's on Netflix too?
That's on Netflix, yeah.
Fantastic.
Again, 40 minutes. Oh, bloody banger. Fantastic. Out.
Yeah. Any quick stuff, I'm all over that.
What are you about?
All right. So I've just got a few other small bits of things. So can I recommend it in a little bouquet of recommendations?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
All right. One is a song. It's called Pasta. It's by Angie McMahon, who is an Australian singer-songwriter and musician from Melbourne, Victoria. McMahon released her debut studio album Salt in 2019. It's alternative indie. It sounds a little similar to Courtney Barnett, who I've spoken about before, who I love. If you haven't checked her out, you really should. A little bit like Thelma Plum, who sang that song Homecoming Queen.
I do not know that song. I might know it if I heard it.
Your Homecoming Queen. No. I've really summed that up. Anyway, she's brilliant. And The Preachers. So that's another band that I love. Yep. So anyway, but this particular song, Pasta, just sums up my feelings during lockdown so perfectly.
Positive stuff?
It's not even really that it's positive. It's more just that it kind of sums up that mood And I think it's maybe more a mood when you're in your 20s and you don't have kids around, where you're just kind of like stuck at home and you're eating pasta and you're watching too much TV, or you're spending too much time on your phone, and you're bored and you're restless and you're staring out the window and you're a little bit like all over the shop.
Oh, I'd love to be bored.
Anyway, yeah, I know, right? However, it kind of takes me back into that feeling of being in my 20s, but it also kind of just touches on that feeling of being just constantly at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mundane kind of stuff about it. But also she's just a brilliant musician and her music is great to listen to. So I think it's Melbourne, a mood.
Oh my God,
Pasta,
I would love
by
that.
Angie McMahon. Maybe Collins can play a tiny bit of it at the end of this episode. So that's one thing in my bouquet of recommendations. Another thing is
how many flowers to this bouquet, Claire, if you don't mind me asking?
Only a couple.
Oh, I'm just checking. It's not really a bouquet then, is it? It's like three flowers.
All right, fine. Let me just recommend some things. All right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Lucy Peach, who I've talked about before, who's a beautiful musician from Perth, who I spoke to on my podcast, Just Make the Thing. She does some hilarious comedy stand-up about periods. Oh, gosh.
Here she goes again. Yeah.
But she's also written a book recently and also has a companion podcast to go with it. It's called Period Queen. And it's a lovely read, especially if you've got someone in your life who's maybe getting their period or having their period for the first time or is a teenager. I think it's a beautiful gift to give them to think about women's bodies in a way that's empowering and uplifting and also really nurturing. I think that's what I love about Lucy Peach's writing and her music, because she's also written songs as well that are accompanying the book and the podcast. Mm. And they all kind of go through the different phases of a woman's cycle. And they actually help me, the songs too, I think, particularly when I'm hormonal in different stages. Her songs really reflect how I feel. So I just think it's great. It's all on Spotify, so you can go and check out her podcast and also her music, Period Queen, and then her book as well is available wherever you get good books, or I just got mine on my Kindle.
Bookstores.
Yeah, bookstores. But there's just lots of lovely nurturing ideas to do for yourself wherever you are in your cycle. And I love her. I think she's really inspiring. I also follow her on Instagram. She's gorgeous. So Period Queen by Lucy Peach. Another gem in my bouquet.
That's not how bouquets work.
All right. One last one is The High Low, which probably should not be in a bouquet and should be in a whole section of itself. But I adore this podcast. I've really only just gotten into it during lockdown. People have recommended it to me forever, and I kind of jumped in and out and hadn't really found the right episode. It's a weekly conversation between writers Dolly Alderton and Pandora Sykes. It covers highbrow and lowbrow culture. Their book recommendations and their little snippets of writing and their interviews are just brilliant. They're both really fantastic journalists and writers, and highly intelligent, but also just really across everything that I love anyway in terms of pop culture and the high brow and the low brow of stuff that we're reading at the moment. But they're also just lovely friends, and so it's really nice to hear a friendship like that on a podcast, and their voices are nice and British and soothing. And there's loads of episodes, so I would highly recommend that. Okay, that's my little bouquet.
Wonderful. Of three gems.
Of three little roses. Yeah, I've got others, but I feel like I'm talking too much.
No, that's fine. What time we got? We got.
We're all right. Okay, cool. My other little gem is or rose in my bouquet is How to Train Your Dragon: The Hidden World on Netflix.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
That's a great kids movie. It's just a great kids movie, but it's also a really beautiful looking movie. It's the third one in the How to Train Your Dragon sort of trilogy. My son loves it, but I loved it too.
It's a great movie. They're a great series of films.
Yeah, it's just really great to find a film that you also enjoy as well as your kids. You know? You know?
I know.
You know, do you know? Yeah, and so they're my little bouquet of gems. Dirty John, Betty Broderick, The show on Netflix.
Do you want to get into this?
Are you going to
recommend it? I wasn't going to bring it up, but I've watched it. I was going to bring it up next week. But
I don't really want to get into it. All I'll say is it was very gripping. It's the second series of Dirty John, and I really enjoyed the first series. However, and Amanda Peet plays the main character, Betty.
She's amazing.
And she's brilliant, isn't it? It's just a brilliant.
She was in the movie Evil Woman with Jason Biggs and Steve Zahn and Jack Black, I think.
Christian Slater plays her husband, Dan, or ex-husband. Look, it's really gripping. It just gave me a bit of nightmares, and I feel like it wasn't the best thing to
watch.
Pretty
harrowing, man.
Yeah,
because you've literally just finished. Do you want to talk about it next week, maybe? Do you want to give it a bit of time and
come back to it? Yeah, let's talk about it next week. I mean, if you want something really gripping, go for it.
I didn't realize it was coming out. I just saw it on Netflix and went, huh. And then I started watching. I'm like, oh, my God.
I know. I couldn't stop. Yeah. But I had nightmares. I had to come out at like 10:30 last night and get you to give me a hug.
Oh, is that why you came out?
Yeah.
You're like, can I have a hug? And I'm like, we never hug. What's going on here?
It was just one of those ones where I wished that I hadn't watched it, but I couldn't look away. Oh, no. It's like that other – have we already talked about Gone in the Dark?
Yes.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Yeah, but you hadn't started it.
But you talked about it. Yeah, it was the same. It left me – and I think because of isolation that we're doing at the moment, my mental state, I'm really protective of it.
That's why I'm all about locking the doors all the time and the window. I check every night and make sure everything's all locked up.
Oh, because of that show.
No, I've always been like that, but now I really do it. Yeah. Like the other day when I was out the back and I saw someone come to the front door and then disappear, I'm like, who'd you see? What was that? Dog was barking. And you're like, it's probably nobody. It's probably like mail or whatever. There's no mail. Somebody came to the door. It's locked down. Who's coming to the door?
He's losing and I'm his still mind,
like,
guys.
I'm still like, who was that?
I don't know if it was anyway. It might have been someone checking the water meter or the NBN guys.
Nah.
Who knows? Wasn't. I know something. This is not that interesting for listeners.
Nah, well.
I've got something interesting then.
Do you want me to go? Because I got one.
Fire away.
This is a show on Apple Plus, TV Plus. Apple TV Plus. TV for apples.
What is happening here?
It's called Ted Lasso or Lasso. I don't know how you say it, depending where you're from. It stars Jason Sudeikis. Do you know him?
No.
You'd know him if you saw him. Hannah Waddingham, Juno Temple, Brendan Hunt, Brett Goldstein, among others. And it's about a small-time football coach, guy from the US. He coaches like college football, and he has this like incredible dream run. And he's kind of this long shot, positive force of energy. That's kind of what he's known for. And then he's hired to coach a professional soccer team or football team, as they say in England. So despite having no experience in coaching soccer at all and never even having seen it and not knowing any of the rules, he takes on this job. But it turns out that the owner who brought him over, she only brought him over because she inherited the club from her husband who was cheating on her for years, and she just wants to destroy it. So that's why she's hired this guy. She's like, he loves football so much, so I'm going to hire this like buffoon to like ruin it. But here's the thing, like he kind of brings this like – he's really well done because Jason Sudeikis is like, he can be quite crude and quite cutting and, you know, and quite funny, just funny in this, but he's this really wholesome, genuine kind of Southern charm kind of dude that comes in, and he's got all those different players and people to contend with. Like one of the players, because they're all sports stars, one's like a narcissist and one's like a grizzled vet, and one of them like is the guy who gets the towels, but he gets picked on a lot by all the other ones, and he just kind of systematically goes through all of them and tries to figure out like what's the thing that makes them tick, how can I motivate them, how can I better myself, all these kinds of things. And he slowly starts to win everybody over, including like the general public who hate him because he's this American who doesn't know anything coming over to teach soccer. Do you know what I mean? Or coming over to coach soccer. It's wonderful, man. You should definitely check it out. It's really fun. It's
that
a blast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where can you get
Apple
it?
Apple Plus, which Apple we have because I got a phone, so we get it for a year.
Excellent.
Again, as I say every time with Apple Plus, I wouldn't buy it otherwise, but I have it. And every now and every like 3 months, I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Good.
Yeah. So,
and what's it called?
It's called Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
Or Lasso.
All right. That sounds great.
It's great. It's really great. I think now it's weekly. So there's been three and there's going to be one this weekend. And then.
And it's free. You don't have to pay for it within Apple Plus. If you've got Apple Plus.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's cool.
All right.
Really
I'm
cool.
totally into that.
Get into it.
Get into it, mate. Get it up, yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of
Is
the
it?
Show.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Well, should
no,
I be?
We've hit the end.
Well, finally,
Thank
I feel.
Thank the Lord.
Do you want me to bring up the reviews for the week?
Yes, certainly,
cool.
sir.
I've got one right
you
here.
You do that while I bring up the old emailies.
Great. This is from Six Simple says, a nice couple that I don't want to strangle. 5 stars. You can do that in-app. Did you know that? In-app. 5 stars. Bang it out. This is a great podcast. It's like having a dinner party with a couple that doesn't make you want to gouge out your eyes. Warning, sometimes they talk about vaginas. Gross. That's on you, though. That's not on me, if anything. So what a lovely review, and thank you to all the people who review. It really helps us out. Podcasts,
nice.
There's a million billion. I went on Podbay. This is where I get the reviews from often.
Ah, yes, the old
and there's
Podobay.
Like, it's like search for a podcast. There's like 18 million podcasts on there.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So it's pretty.
Like legitimately 18 million.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Jesus.
And that's only the ones through this. It's not including like my others. God. So.
Imagine, because when you started the old Weekly Planet, your less successful podcast.
How dare you? Go on. Yeah.
Got him. How many podcasts do you reckon were out there?
Oh, there was tapes. There was still, there would have been thousands at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, but not millions.
Yeah. I think do we started reckon? A really good time. What I don't like, and I've talked about this before, I'm sure, but I don't like how they're dominated by like celebrities now, which is fine for me. Like, what do I care? Our one goes along, we've got an audience and, you know, it grows or doesn't. I've no idea. I should look at them all. But yeah, it would be harder. Like if you're not like, guess what? I'm a comedian, or guess what? I have a TV show, and I also do a podcast. And now with lockdown, there's probably even more. You know, it's hard. It's harder and harder. I feel so. I'm not trying to discourage people from doing it. You should absolutely do it.
But, yeah, for
but
sure.
I don't
but
like
it's harder.
How
I
they're
guess...
like this celebrity is reinventing podcasts. It's like, are they?
Yeah,
they started
in
like 2006.
The thing that really gets me the most is radio stations have now all come on board
yeah.
and they think they know podcasting because they take their radio show and they put it online as a digital
they
version
know jack
of the show.
Shit.
And look, that's a legitimate way of listening to a radio show, obviously, but a podcast is just so much broader and deeper than that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we talk for half an hour, well, a bit longer today on a podcast, but some of the craft that goes into podcasts that people make.
I mean, not
now,
us, but yeah. Others.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Not us. I mean, we're just talking, but I just think it's so much, and it's so different to a medium on the radio. It's just the subject matter is so much deeper and you can just build such a wonderful connection with the audience and, the hosts that you listen to. I don't know. And so that just annoys me that radio stations are like, we know podcasting. We put our radio show on.
And every time we like
podcast.
Associate, because we every now and then like a radio will contact us and be like, why don't you come in and teach us about podcasting or whatever. It's like, you can figure it out. You'll be right.
You've got all the money and all the dollary, dude.
Why don't you just put up another fucking billboard? You'll be right.
Whoa, zing-a-ling. All right. I've got an email because talking about listeners and hosts and all the peeps, we love it when you write to us. Thank you so much.
We're all about community engagement.
We bloody
artificial
are.
Or not.
Oh, no. and so if you want to write to the show with a suggestion, you can email it at suggestiblepod@gmail.com, just like Georgia Day has. Hi, Claire and James. An explanation. I listened to Suggestible right before bed last week and dreamt I was helping you move house.
Oh.
Yeah. This is why, because her subject matter for the email is tasty walls.
Claire it's like a Willy Wonka thing.
Yeah, and that's what I thought as well. It's like, blueberry. Claire got stressed and licked a wall. Yes, that is licked and not kicked. So that's the deal with the clickbait subject line. I wonder why I was licking walls in her dream. Crazy.
That's up to her. That's not up to you.
Correct.
Know what I mean? That's on her subconscious.
That is on her.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, thanks for the many suggestibles and good banter over the past few months. I've started reading Dark Emu, which Claire recommended 1,000 episodes ago, and it's fascinating. As a Brit, our national curriculum somehow just skips all of the horrific colonial history. So it's really good to read this sort of stuff and learn some new things. I totally agree. And time for some suggestibles.
I love suggestibles.
Yeah. So for Claire, what we did in our holiday 2014, a lighthearted comedy with David Tennant and Rosamund Pike. Have you seen this?
What was it? So it's called?
What we did on our holiday.
I haven't seen it, but I know what this is. And I've been, because he's like a celebrity or something. No.
Yeah.
Wait,
it's about taking the kids to see their granddad and trying to hide their impending divorce from the extended family.
Yeah.
I love David Tennant. Speaking of someone as a celebrity who does a podcast, I actually really like David Tennant.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying celebrities shouldn't do stuff.
No, not at all. And especially David Tennant, because he's a delight.
He's a delight.
Yeah, she says it's funny, heartwarming, and the kid actors are genuinely brilliant. Also on BBC iPlayer and probably other places. And the second one isn't so light and breezy, American Son on Netflix. It's about a black woman who's trying to find out what happened to her son after hearing he was in a traffic stop. And it's an excellently written 90-minute film. It's basically a masterclass of screenwriting, and there's only four characters, and it takes place in a single room in a police station.
Like a bottle episode.
Yeah, moving, harrowing, poignant, and the acting is world class.
World
Keep class. Up the good work, mates. Georgia T. Day.
Great stuff. Thank you, Georgia T. Yeah. Day.
Plus, she said, P.S., there's a man in my ham sandwich. Explain that reference.
That's from a How Do Donna skit. It's one of my favorites. It's called The School Nurse. It's hilarious. It's really funny. They come in with different bizarre ailments, and it's just really funny.
It's so good.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
That's it,
It's all it.
Next week, I guess we'll talk about Dear John, season two, Dirty John, whatever it's called.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's so depressing. I can't be watching any of this dark content.
It's definitely more kind of ambiguous in terms of, I mean, the guy's like a bastard. Like, that's evident. Yeah. But there's some things that you're like, oh, why are you doing that? Like, you're ruining everything for, like, your family. Like,
and yourself.
I mean, obviously, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it next week. Yeah, it's an interesting look at a crime. There's been a few iterations of that particular crime story.
Yes. And it's interesting because it seems like it has had ramifications for similar cases since, which I find really fascinating as well. Mm. So, anyway, I guess we'll probably talk about it next week, but we might not. Yeah.
All right.
So long.
And enjoy listening to Pasta by Angie McMahon through the wonders of Collings.
Is Collings going to sing it, is he?
Yeah, he will.
Oh, my God.
I know. You know what? I bet Collings could play guitar. I can bloody do everything.
I bet it's like the one thing he can't do. So he spends like the next 48 hours furiously learning to play guitar, and he nails it.
By the way, thank you so much, Collings.
Thank you, Collings. Don't learn to play guitar. Don't do it. All right. See you guys.
See ya. Air guitar counts, right?
No, Claire. No. Subculture, though, you know? It's a subculture. It's a whole thing.
Air guitar.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I'm off to learn about air guitar.
I'm not.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.